Blog Talk Radio.
Let the birds to the trees, trees to the leaves, Lord, how I need you. Like the sun up in the sky, Jesus, you're the light, oh, how I need you.
He's so good.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome to the program tonight. It is Monday, the 24th of February, 2020. And we thank God for you. Thank God for all those who've called in at 646-668-2636. And those listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We appreciate you for taking time out this evening and joining us. If you called in, if you press 1 on your keypad, you can join the conversation, ask a question, or give your insight and wisdom on the topic tonight. So tonight we're continuing. I just want to come in a little bit tonight and just give a continuation of what we was talking about the last previous show, talking about establishing a godly conduct and the importance of spiritual, of godly teaching, godly training, and discipline. But tonight we're going to touch on training, godly training, in the practices and putting those things into practice and application of the word, how important that is, and how we use the word to be obedient to the word. Because it's more than just be hearers of the word, but it's doers of the word. And this is where the training comes in, where we train our spirits, we train our bodies to submit to the word of God, submit to the Holy Spirit, that we might grow in spiritual maturity and grow in the grace and the mercies of God, so that God can also use us. Because again, we are the church. Each of us has a purpose and a plan in the body of Christ and God's redemption plan for the lost mankind. And also, as I always say here at the Christian's Talk, God has saved you because there's one person, one soul that will only receive and hear the gospel from you. So as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons, as leaders in the church, leaders in the homes, leaders in our community, we have a responsibility to live a life of godly conduct and get to the place of spiritual maturity where God can use us. Because again, no matter how long you've been saved, it's been 30 years, 30 days, last week, this past Sunday, at a Bible study, God has a plan for you right where you are. And that's one of the things we have to also get into our gift, our understanding, that God just wants to use this to glorify his kingdom, to glorify him, and to advance his kingdom. And he's going to do that by the church, and we are the church. Amen. Amen. So let me pray, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. I'm going to touch on a few points tonight, and we're going to continue on the rest of this week. Today is Monday, so we have Thursday and Saturday. And we're going to continue. We're going to focus in on this a little bit of this establishing godly conduct through godly training. Spiritual condition is practicing biblical principles. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we say thank you right now, Lord God. God, I thank you for this day, oh God. I thank you for this last week, oh God, this past weekend, God. I thank you for all those who have worshiped you on Sunday morning, oh God. All the churches who taught and preached truth, oh God. For the souls that got saved, Lord God, we say thank you. We thank you for the healing of God, of the sick, oh God. We thank you for those who are shut in, oh God. Those who are in lockdown, God. We pray for their spirits today, oh God. Those who are in prisons, those who are in hospital rooms, God. Those in nursing homes, oh God. Those in hospices, God. We pray for them all, oh God. That you, God, protect their lives. That, God, you have a plan and a purpose. That you are sovereign. nothing happens as a surprise to you, but God is all used for your glory. And for the believer, Lord God, we ask today that you encourage them, strengthen them, O God. Increase their faith, O God. Increase the assurance of their faith, O God. I ask that you bless them, O God, and bless their families, O God. Father, I lift up my family to you today, O God, and my children, grandchildren, God, my wife, O God, those who are connected to me through spirit and by blood, Lord God, we pray for them all today, God, that you would touch them, God, because you're an omnipresence, God. You are here and you are there all at the same time, and you know the beginning and the end, Lord God. So, Father, we just say thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the shed blood on the cross, for the salvation and redemption of our souls, and the forgiveness of sin, Lord God. So, Father, we ask you to continue to watch over us and bless us. Advance your church. We wait for the coming, for our coming Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight I want to touch on a couple of things just to get us going for this week. We're going to be talking about a couple of things this week. Again, we're talking about establishing godly conduct. And we talked about in our previous program, we talked about godly teaching, the importance of being under godly teaching, being in a church, part of a Bible study, a small group, where we're studying the Word of God, we're getting good teaching, and we get a good understanding of the Scripture. Because it's important to have a good understanding of Scripture, because we have to be able to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then when we worship, our worship is greater when we know who and why we worship with the knowledge of God. And we get that through the power of the Holy Spirit and also through the reading and studying of His Word. So I encourage everyone out there to be part of a small group, a Bible study, and just to be able to grow so that God can use you. You have to remember, like I always say, God saved us, gave us the understanding of who He is and who His Son Jesus Christ is to tell someone else. Because that one person is only going to hear and receive the gospel from you. Because they've seen your lives, they've seen the change. And they may never hear a preacher, a pastor, or anybody else, but it's each of us, because we are the church, and we are called to evangelize a lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to talk about godly conduct and godly training. Real quick, okay, I'm going to go into share a little bit. I'm going to give a couple of scriptures here tonight I'm going to touch on. Like I said, we're going to start here, and then Monday, then Thursday, and then Saturday, we're going to continue on. I have some brothers that have lined up to come on and help me discuss this a little bit and dive deep into it. So I encourage you to follow us this week so we can get to this to our topic of establishing godly conduct. And our training is our practices. And anything, if we look at our lives, we learn how to do a lot of things through training, through repetition. If you played sports, I like to use sports and our jobs. You know, we work, we go into a job, we get trained how to do a job. We go to college and go to school to get training, get certified. All those things we already do and establish, but when it comes, seems like it comes to the Word of God, it's the same thing. We have to be able to know the Word, understand the Word, to be able to share the Word, to live the Word, live out the Word. And it's training, because it takes training to be able to be in a spiritual condition where we're practicing the truths that we learn in the Word. First, we have to understand that the Word is true, and what the Word says, who we are and who we're supposed to be and how we ought to live and how we ought to speak and how we ought to live our lives and how we treat others, it's in the Word of God. And once we understand that truth, then we have to start to work on applying it again, because it's not instantaneous, but we have to be earnestly trying. It's just like I said, when we go to school, you go to high school. If you want to get a high school diploma, you had to go to classes. You had to take the test. You had to pass the classes. Same thing for college. Same thing for jobs. Same things in life. We have to learn, and we have to get to understanding, and then we start to live and work that thing out. And again, I say this for those who may be new converts or coming to Christ and still doing some of the old things. You have to just keep pressing in. You have to keep pressing into the Word, seeking the Word for understanding, seeking to a place where, you know, the Word of God is starting to change. You're starting to think different. You're starting to be different. And you look at you look in the mirror at yourself and say, you know, I'm not who I used to be, but also I'm not who God called me to be. Because, again, until we leave this earth here as Christians, every day, every month, every season is an opportunity to glorify Him, for us to grow in His knowledge, to grow as mature Christians, mature saints, and be able to just live in a life that's obedient to his word and understanding the word and being able to share the word and have the deep understanding of it. Amen. So I encourage you, brothers, to just continue in the word. So tonight, we're talking about training, the practices of living a life that is pleasing to God, our spiritual conditioning. Just like if we go to the gym, if we start exercising, jogging, walking, whatever, we're starting to condition our bodies to do something different, to start to use some muscles we probably haven't used in a while. You know, I started walking recently. You know, you get walking, you got to start slow. You can't get out there and walk and run a marathon just by getting up in the morning and go running 26 miles. You got to start with walking to the grocery store and walking back, walking up the stairs and down the stairs. And that's the same thing with the things of God. We start small, but when we do what we start with, once we get that thing, we got that thing. I talked about memorizing scripture, and I always say this: it's not about memorizing scripture. It's memorizing scripture and understanding what scripture means and how we'd be able to share it with someone else. Not memorizing scripture to let people think how smart and how godly we are because we memorize scripture, but we haven't applied it to our lives. And that's where we have to be as Christians, get to the point where we are applying the word of God to our lives. Because, again, the word of God is God's will speaking to us through his word. And the more we understand the word, a knowledge of the word, and applying that word is how we were more pleasing to him. Amen? So we're exercising trained behavior. So we want to reach a maturity. Maturity is the thing. You know, it's talk about spiritual maturity. Because, again, in our lives, we once were children. And we matured into adulthood. Some of us may have reached adulthood later. Some of us still may not have reached adulthood. But we're all moving and growing. As long as we live, we're moving into a maturity level. I don't say adulthood, but we're going to mature in some things. And hopefully we're not doing the childish things we were before, but we're starting to mature. And it's the same thing in God, in our spiritual life. We start to mature. Some of the things that used to get to us, some of the things that we did before, you know, because, you know, I could sit here and list a whole bunch of sins, but it's not about. It's about what Christ has done for us and what Christ is doing in us. Because once we start abstaining from some things, we don't talk like we used to talk. We don't go places we used to go. Well, hopefully we're hanging with different people, godly people who's encouraging us that we can glean from and learn from. Because that's what the church is for. That people who have like-minded beliefs in the word of God and come together to encourage each other and to grow. So that's why I always encourage you brothers out there and all those who are listening to be part of a Bible study with people who believe it. And the thing is, I'll say this for my other brothers out there. You know, you can, if you go to a Bible study and you're the most mature person in that Bible study, it's time for you to find another Bible study. Sometimes our pride kicks in. We are the most smartest, we're the most spiritual, and have the most biblical understanding. And then our pride, and we don't want to move on to another level. It's just like, say, you was in high school or middle school, or let's go with elementary school. Say, if you're supposed to be in the fifth grade, and you stay in the class with first graders, you're the big shot. But you're supposed to be in fifth grade, and you're supposed to be going to sixth. We don't go backwards. We want to go forward. So even in the midst of that, we want to be around more mature people that who understand, who study the word, can show us how to study the word, and can encourage us in the word and understanding of the word, and can help us to grow in Christ. Because, again, all of us are going to stand before Christ individually, not as a church, not with your pastor, not with your grandmother's belief, your parents' faith system. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ and be judged on What did we do with him when we heard about Jesus? What do we believe and how did we live? And did we live out his word? Amen? So, again, I just want to encourage you. We're going to go through a couple of scriptures here, as always, to encourage the body of Christ for those who are listening. We go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. It's going to be verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 5, 12 and 13. Amen? And like I say, I've always used my paper Bible, so everybody got time to write it down and flip to it real quick. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, man. I did have it marked, and then, again, my Bible flipped on it. Amen. I got it. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, the Word of God says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that no one teach you again, which be the first principles of all oracles of God, and are becoming such to have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised and discern both good and evil. Amen. And that's about us growing from being able to eat milk to meat. You know, if you have children, brothers, you have children out there, you went from Similac to milk to whatever, to the point where your child started eating cereal and oatmeal and then moved on to, I don't know, they still got baby food out there, or you take some food from the plate, you start smashing it, and then at some point, they learn to feed themselves. They learn to eat for themselves. They hopefully, you know, they start to feed themselves, and then they start to prepare food for ourselves. Again, we were all started as babies. That's the thing about God and the way God created us. We all started as little babes in our mother's arms to adulthood, and in the body of Christ, it's the same thing. We all started somewhere, and now we are to mature and grow in the things of God. So we have an understanding, the basic understanding, and then we just grow. And I'll say this. I know a lot of people, brothers out there, I know some pastors and elders and other folk who went to Bible colleges and went to seminary and got degrees. I mean, all that is good, and all that is fine, and education is good. I'll never say anything about education, but that's not a requirement for us to have to our faith to be used by God. Let me just say it like that. You don't necessarily have to go to seminary because, again, the knowledge and understanding that we get through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our faith and in studying the Word for ourselves is where God can use us. Because, you know, I know people who've gone to seminary. I know pastors and folk. I mean, that comes out fine if that's what God has called you to be. But that don't let that be – let me say it like this. Don't let that be a hindrance from you learning and understanding the Word and being able to speak, because the best teacher is one who can teach some. The best person who understands and lives out the Word is someone who can share the Word with someone else for their understanding. Because even in the midst, you might go to a Bible college or a seminary and take a class, but if you get nothing out of it and you don't get to a deep understanding of who God is and what God has done for you and why, what must you do to be saved and why things happen, and why the Word of God and understanding the Word of God just as simple as it is. Remember, the church, it was only the Word of God, and the Word of God is our foundation as Christians. It's not getting a degree or a master's degree. I mean, those things can be helpful, but are we living out the Word and understand the Word? And are we sharing the Word? Are we just taking time to share with disciple one person? Brothers, are we teaching in our homes? Are we having Bible studies with our wives and our kids? Are those in our circle of influence? We have folks who don't go to church. You know, we all know, brothers. We all know people who just don't go to church for whatever reason. Either they got issues with church, they got issues with whatever, they don't have nothing to wear, whatever. We all heard the excuses. But then, what are we doing to reach out and to be able to disciple them? Or are we training them with what we know? Because I could teach, like right now, for example, how many brothers out there, you can ride a bike. You know how to ride a bike, you know how to roller skate. Do you know enough to go teach someone how to ride a bike and roller skate? It's the same thing with the Word of God. What you know, you take to those who don't know and help them to grow. Help them to know. Because remember, there's a lot of folk out there who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't understand the sin. It's not the sin they're doing and the things they're doing. It's the sin of Adam, which caused all of us are destined for the wrath of God and hell and punishment eternal. But only through the faith in Jesus Christ can we be saved from the punishment of God and be cast into hell. But a lot of people don't hear that. They hear, stop drinking, stop cussing, stop smoking, stop sleeping around, stop all the things that are not godly and righteous. Don't wear these clothes. Don't wear those clothes, whatever. But Jesus Christ died to forgive us of our sins and redeem us back into a relationship with God the Father, the creator of the universe. As he gets it, his only begotten Son, that we may be reconciled by him and to build his church, to love one another, to care for one another as believers, and be salt and light. Amen? And that all comes through godly training. We have to be trained in these things and have to be part of a training process. Look at yourself. I mean, I asked this about some other brothers recently. You know, everybody has a nice, what do we call it? A man cave where they've got everything set up, their favorite sports team, they got a 55-inch TV, some nice leather chairs, all that. They have that place where they can go and they can get away from their wife and kids and everybody and invite some of the brothers over and all that. But what do you have? What's in your library? Where's your study space? Where's your study space for the Word of God? Where's your study space for your career? Where do you take time out to improve your mental and your spiritual growth? Where do you pray? I mean, you know, some of us worship on Sundays from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and then there's another service on Sunday nights. Well, it's football season's over, so some of you brothers are free now. Amen? But these are the things that we have to look at our lives as Christian men. We have to see where we're spending our time, what are we putting our resources in, and what are we doing. And that's when we talk about godly training. Because even some of my brothers out there, I know some of y'all are high school superstars, college athletes, you know, whatever, semi-pro. You could play basketball, pick up games. You was a basketball legend. But all that came because you put the time in. But now, as Christian men, how much time are we putting into the things of God? Can we deliver, if we were called to share the gospel, not preach a sermon, but share the gospel, teach someone the understanding of what John 3:16 means, what the scriptures we like to quote, scriptures, I'm getting lost right now, about the one, okay, how about this, when it says to do not lie to one another and bear each other's burdens in Colossians chapter 3, what does that mean? How do we bear each other's burdens? How are we able to show that in our lives? Where it says love one another in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, where it says encourage one another in Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, when we read the scriptures, how are we applying that scripture? And then how do we get someone else to understand to live that way too? Because when the scripture calls us to love one another, that means we are called to sacrifice. Because love is sacrifice. Love is an action. Love is not about what you can get from a person because they say they love you. But love is what are you willing to give and sacrifice? Because what did God give? He loved us so much, he gave his son. Amen? Amen. So we have to be able to reach and touch on our Christian conduct. And that is, again, done through training, through practice, to going out to practice and to seek and to study the word. It's important. I can't say it enough. It's important to put enough godly people around us. Stop hanging out with folk who don't encourage you, folk who don't bring you down. Folk, first of all right, let me say this, brothers. For those the others and sisters that are listening, we need to all have godly people around us. There's some folk that we have to purge out of our lives. And I'll say this as my own personal testimony. There's a time when you have to put everybody down and put people around you to help you in your faith, and then you can go back and reach others. Because Jesus talked about that in Luke 22. You know, he told Peter, He prayed for Peter, that the devil would not sift Peter or kill Peter. But once Peter was delivered, he told Peter, once you're delivered, go get your brothers. And that lived out because if we remember the Gospels, Peter denied Christ 3 times and went and hid when they crucified him. But then he was restored. After the resurrection, he spoke to Peter and asked Peter, feed my sheep, and used Peter to lead the disciples. And Peter wrote 3 books of the Bible. He was a missionary. He was a leader in the church. But at the time of the crucifixion, he had failed. The enemy tried to get him out of his place. And that's what we got to look at as men. The enemy's going to, some things might happen to us and get us out of our place. And we need to just be able to step back and then seek God in a way how God can use us. And then go back and get all those. You know, I hear testimonies all the time about folk, you know, they used to hang with a lot of different people, did a lot of, once God establishes you, he's going to use you to reach those same people you hung out with, the people you did crime, dirt with, whatever, you know. But those are the people who need to see the change in you from who you used to be, the things you used to do when you were running together, to see you change. And now they know that God is real through you. So, brother, I just want to encourage you that we have to start to be, get under godly training, start to practice these things. We're going to go to establishing godly through the training. We must practice what we have been taught. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verses 8 and 9. And I just want to touch on those tonight to encourage you, to encourage those out there listening. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Right now I'm at the point I'm doing trying to do at least 2 live shows a week. But I always upload something on those nights. There'll be a new uploaded show, pre-recorded or something. But I always encourage you to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can see the link there. You can listen to the archive of all the shows. If you miss some, don't want to catch up, they're all there. They can always be listened to again. You can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, my Facebook page. The link is there for the program and for the discussions. And you can go back and listen to those. I encourage you to reach out there. Also, we are on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. You can follow us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Amen. Oh, and also, this year, 2020, we're working on putting together videos on YouTube. What's the YouTube channel? Man, I forgot. I got to find it. I'll find it before the end of this show. The YouTube channel is up. We have a couple of videos up there from we went to the studio with a couple of brothers and we did a couple of video in studio recorded programs. So I just want to encourage and be able to speak into the lives of brothers out there as husbands, as fathers and sons. We just need men to stand up, to stand in there, to be in their place, to mentor young men, mentor their sons, to reach out, lead in our homes, lead in the church, lead in the communities. Just be the men of God. God has called us to be right where you are. And I just want to encourage you to start in the prayer life and start to study the word to gain a knowledge of God. Amen. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm at verse number 8. Hold on, I'm still, man, what did I do? All right, Colossians, Philippians. There you go, I found mine. Hopefully you found yours by now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtues, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. That's what we have to do. The things that we learn, the things that you learn, the things you learn in the Bible study, the things you learn on Sunday sermons. You know, I have a challenge out. Let me stop right there. We have a challenge out here for 2020. There's 52 weeks in a year, and out of those 52 weeks, most churches have a weekly Bible study. The goal is how many of these weekly Bible studies you plan on making? We're already near the end of February, so it should have been January. Wait a minute, where's my calendar? Make sure I get this right, because you might have extras. Let's see. So January, if your Bible study is on Tuesday, it should have been to 4 of them. It was Wednesday, should have been the 4. And there you go. Okay, so February, we already at the end of February. So if you went to Bible study this week, we're not going to count this week because we just got here. So that's 4, 5, 6, 7. So out of the 7 weekly Bible studies in the church that you belong to, how many have you been to? So 7 take away. Hold on, I got to do some math here. Give me a minute. So you have 7 take away 52. So that gives us 45. So you have 45 more weeks, 45 more Bible studies. What is your plan? What is the plan for you and your family to make the next 45? How many of the next 45 weekly Bible studies are you going to be in and be there and study and have the Word of God? How many Sundays I know Sundays, a lot of people sure roll up in there on Sunday. That's kind of easy for some. Others, whatever. We'll see it when football season get back. But or the summer vacation, because for some reason people think it's so hot outside, they don't have to go to church because it's so nice and wonderful. I'd rather go to the beach. But, you know, God knows. But anyway, just like, see, that's another thing. I like one of that because that brings some light to my remembrance. How many of us has already planned our vacation for this summer? So how many Bible studies and how many Bible studies for the rest of this year are you going to make out of the next 45? And this is the things we have to ask ourselves as men. Because if we don't lead, how do we expect anyone to follow? If our pastors are there and our pastors are elders, are studying and putting time in to give a word that you can live on, to know those things which are lovely, which are true, which are honest, which are right, which is pure, and you're not there to hear it. So how are you growing maturity? How are you going to reach a spiritual maturity level that you can be the man, the father, the husband, the man in the church, a godly man living in the community, leading, being an example, mentoring others? If you're not being fed, if you're not being discipled, how can you disciple someone if you're not being discipled? So I just want to encourage you there. So in that passage, it was Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. There's a couple of things we need to start to practice in our lives, brothers. The time I got left here, I'm going to cover them again. I always encourage you to go back, study the scriptures. Hopefully you have a good study Bible, a Bible dictionary, and just go in and study the word. Look at the word. You know, I use the King James. You don't necessarily have to use the King James. There's different translations that may be easier for you to read. They have American Standard, which is just it's American Standard, which is just our English. It's not the old, you know, King James, thou art and thou in English. There's NIVs. There's different translations. But with Google, we all have Google machines. So you can go on, let me think of one, BibleStudyTools.com. I'll just throw that out there. No, or Blue Letter Bible, where you can go and get different translations so you can read and understand what the word is saying. Because, again, this is what we have to take upon ourselves. It's like anything else. We can't expect someone else to do it, and we can't expect, I don't know. For those of you who on Sunday, you hit 3 hours on Sunday, and that's all the time you spend in the word of God and studying and reading. I encourage you to repent from that and start doing daily devotionals, daily prayers. These are the little things that help you to grow in spiritual maturity and help you to start practicing. This is part of your godly training. Daily prayer, daily devotionals, studying the word that you have, attending Bible study in church, because, again, being around other believers helps us grow. It helps us to get better. It helps us to get stronger. And I encourage everyone to go to Bible study, because Bible study is a place where when you have a question, you can get your questions answered, hopefully, if you go to a good Bible study. I've known men and pastors in Bible studies where it's not another sermon. We're engaging and we're discussing and answering people's questions for understanding. Because even reading the King James, if someone else has a different translation, you get to hear it a different way. That way you get understanding and knowledge, because knowledge of the word of God, knowing what you believe and why you believe it, is the mark of spiritual maturity, that the Holy Spirit can use you, because now you understand, you can disciple, mentor, and explain to somebody else so they may understand that their soul too will be saved. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to give a couple of points here when we talk about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. To love God is to hate sin. To love God is to hate sin. And love to give to others, giving of time, giving of finances, giving of, you know, praying for people. A heart to give and to help wherever you can is a supernatural thing, because a lot of people are very selfish, very prideful. They got theirs. They don't want nobody else. They don't care about nobody else getting theirs. This is why we have so many people, families, homeless, people struggling, because people who have are not willing to give. And if they're willing to give, you know, they have to have a big party about it. But, you know, that's just me. Amen. We have to live according to godly principles, the principles in the word of God. It says, think on these things. Think on these things. What is true, honest, right, pure, lovely, are good to report, of virtue, praise. These are the things our heart and our mind should be focused on, godly principles, and living out these things in our life. And like I say, it's easy because we deal with a lot of things in families, on our jobs, and just what's going on in the culture, depending on our neighborhood. But we have to think on the things of God, because remember, just think how bad we if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't God, that God saved you, what would you be wrapped up in, or what were you tied up in before God, before you turned your life around and surrendered to God and lived by the principles? Walk in unity. That's, again, about being part of a church, being part of a Bible study group of godly men, godly women, godly somebody, just people who believe in Jesus Christ, believe the word of God, and come together to encourage one another. And that could be done a lot of ways. It's not always just necessarily. I know some folk think church folk, all they do, church folk, all church folk do is go to church, but that's not true. We have lives, we do things and go out and be sociable, but you don't want to go out with folk, again, that who, you know, they go out, they want to get, you know, they want to get drink, high, whatever, go places that, you know, ain't conducive to get you caught up in some other stuff. You end up and you may not have intention, but if you're in the wrong place, you get caught up. But if you were godly folk who think like you think or think how you want to think, then you can enjoy yourself. There's a lot of things. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of things out there where you it don't take a drink. It don't take a hit. It don't take nothing. And still you can enjoy yourself, enjoy the company of others. You'd be surprised what you find out with people when you're not drinking and, you know, whatever else with them. When you get a pure mind, you'd be surprised what people talk about and how much you learn about folks. Amen. A correct interpretation of the word of God. That's about, again, being studied, being having godly teachers, knowing the false prophets, the hustlers, the false teachers. I'll say that. The false teachers, I'll say, all Christian right now. The false teachers who use the word of God to manipulate people. But the only way you're going to know is to be around folk. Things not going to sound right to you. You're connected with the Holy Spirit. If it just don't sound right, you're not obligated to get involved with it. Walk away. That's where a lot of people get in trouble. But, man, we got to be careful with people who call themselves pastors and teachers and elders and prophetesses and all kinds of apostles and archbishops and things. You have to look at their life. You have to look at what they're saying and what they're teaching, and is it in the Word of God? I mean, I learned a long time ago, the simple test is if someone preaches something and I go back and read it and I don't see what they're talking about, it may be a little off or it just wasn't for me. Because if I see that scripture and it wasn't lined up, and not just with that scripture, that's why we have to study, because I can go and see that another place in the Bible. Because scripture upon scripture, we compare what is being taught. Because we compare with some, because some people take one little scripture and they run with it, and they can preach an hour on one verse. And when you look it up, and if you look it up, the same principle in another section of the Bible, that's not what they were teaching. But again, this is why we need to be in the church. Operate correctly in our spiritual gifts. We are all gifted. God has created us all with a gift, one of the spiritual gifts. There's a reason God, there's a purpose in for each of our lives, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how old you are, where you live, how much money, whatever you have, where you are today. If you're in the sound of my voice and hearing this program, God has a plan for you. And if you get and first it was for salvation. Let me say that. God has a plan for every human being to be saved and be reconciled back to him and believe in Jesus Christ. Some will, some won't, but so what? Where are you? And now, in the midst of that, the spiritual gifts God put into you. There's many of those. That's a whole another show and teaching. But this is why we should be in Bible study, understand what the spiritual gifts and how we are being used in that. Add to our faith. We believe. We see God do. We see God deliver us. That's adding to our faith. We pray, and we have answered prayers. Here at Eastern Christian Men's Talk, I always encourage the brothers, have a prayer journal. Write your prayers down, because, you know, this stuff you pray about, this is not a microwave God. You could pray about something last year, 2 years, but then God moves upon it, and the situation changes, and you say God is faithful, because he answered your prayer. And that's how your faith is growing. But, so, you know, one of the ways, again, is journaling, writing your prayers down, the things you pray about. When God does them, you say, this is the date that God, this is the day I prayed, this is what the day God answered my prayer, and that's how you can encourage someone else who may be going the same thing you was going through at that time. So, you know, I prayed, I was going through that, And God, and 2 years later, God made, turned it all around. So that we have to be, add to our faith. Live according to our faith. We have to be a disciple. We have to be discipled by someone who's teaching us the word and how to apply the word. And that can be a lot of different people. It doesn't necessarily have to be a pastor. That's why we should be part of Bible study groups, put godly people around us, because you never know who we're going to disciple and mentor you and encourage you along the way. I encourage your brother, well, most of the brothers I know, but if I have anyone on the line tonight, it doesn't necessarily have to be a person who calls themselves or is called a pastor. But any true believer who loves God and believes God, is living out God, can disciple us. Because I was discipled by a brother who wasn't, at the time, wasn't necessarily had a quote-unquote title in the church. But I knew he was a believer because I saw who his family was, his wife, his kids, you know, his family, his marriage, how his home life was, and how he lived and carried himself. We all represent something by the way we walk and talk and act every day, and people are watching us. So we have to do different. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God is our character. Full armor of God is Ephesians chapter 6. That represents our character, who we are. What are we doing in the dark and in the light? What do people see? And what are we doing in our secret? What are we doing in our secret lives? Or do we have secret lives that we think no one knows, but God knows? So our godly character, again, is the word of God. And most of all, and finally, my brothers, I ask you to be committed. Committed to your faith. Committed to Jesus Christ. Jesus gave all for us, and all he asks is for us to give all to him. If we are obedient to his word, obedient to his commandments, what he called us to do, the directions of love. Remember, love is an action. If you love, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, you would keep his commandments. You would focus in on, again, the word of God. There's no secret and no mystery. What God requires of us as Christians is in his word. And you have to go there and find the will of God for ourselves and know what we are or who we are to be. Amen. And this is just some of the ways I just want to encourage the brothers out there to live and start to establish godly character, godly conduct through the training, through in the word of God, applying the word of God, putting ourselves in a place where we're being trained. Again, I keep it in the most simple way I can bring it. If you wanted a high school diploma, you had to go to high school. If you wanted a college diploma, you had to go to college. You had to sign up, attend classes to graduate to get your degree. If you wanted to get a certification, a certificate, anything, you had to do the required to get to the place where you reach the maturity level, where then you would have a talent, a skill, a gift that could be used for your job, for your performance, to provide for your family. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We have to grow in spiritual maturity so that we can stand before Jesus Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We are the servants of Christ. We are slaves to righteousness, and we are called to reach a dying world with the truth and the love of Jesus Christ and the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So, gentlemen and brothers, I just want to encourage you. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. Again, you can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr. You can listen to the archive and the rebroadcast of this show. You can share it. I encourage you to share it with someone, post it on your Facebook page. You can go to Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, on our Facebook page. You'll see the link to this program there. You can also share it there. And again, I just want to encourage all those out there, all my brothers and sisters listening here in Baltimore, in D.C. Let's see, I got some from Virginia. I got some up in New York. They're hanging in there, the Bronx, Staten Island. Shout out. So, again, let me close with this. I close the scripture tonight. It's going to be, I just want to give this last scripture because I'm going to encourage you on this day. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, just to meditate on this scripture for tonight. And again, continue to live for God, continue to be obedient to God, and continue to love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 reads, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. Amen. Father, we say thank you right now. God, I ask that you continue to bless. I ask you continue to touch the lives of all those who listened in tonight, who called in, those who listened online, Lord God, those, oh God, who seek to be closer and draw closer to you, Father. I ask tonight that you would turn their hearts to you. Father, I ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless them, cover them, protect them, oh God. Give them peace in the midst of their situations, God. Give them wisdom, give them direction, give them discernment, Lord God, that they would make the right choice, God, when choices have need to be made, Lord God. Father, we ask, God, today that I pray for healing. I pray for healing for everyone who's listening from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord God. Diabetes and high blood pressure and broken fingernails and heart conditions and all the things that can go wrong with this body, I pray healing over them, God, because at the time of the resurrection, God, our bodies will be renewed, oh God, and as I resurrect the bodies, be no pain, no suffering. Will be in a perfect body, living with you in a perfect place, in a home that you're preparing for us, oh God. So we say thank you right now, Lord. But God, I continue to pray for those, oh God, who've had family members in hospitals and in hospices, oh God. I ask that you comfort and encourage them, oh God, even this time of life, oh God. That God, your will be done, God. But even in that, Lord God, even in that, oh God, that you would get the glory and that someone would come to know and believe in you. Father, we ask your grace and mercy in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, and we'll see you on Thursday and Saturday.